Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show, brought to you by Over the Bar. Checking in this evening for some more Bundesliga review from match week 24. Another really exciting weekend, loads of goals, loads of incidents for us to enjoy and get through. Apologies for the slight delay. You know, starting tonight, mainly because I'm not at my best tonight, so we'll work our way through, won't we, Mark? For the love of the Bundesliga, I'm struggling on just for everyone to get recorded tonight. Before we do get stuck into all the detail, if you can leave a thumbs up on the video, that'd be fantastic. If you want to comment along, let us know your thoughts on the games and talking points from this weekend. Of course, if you can hit the subscribe button, even better. And leave a rating and a review on podcasts. Right then, Mark. First things first. How was your weekend? Do you enjoy all the action?
Yeah, for sure. It was an amazing weekend of football. Yeah, I was actually over in Bremen as well in North Germany this weekend. So yeah, caught the Bremen Stadium as well. Obviously, there was no game up there, but being the diehard Bundesliga fan I am, I had to make a pilgrimage over to the stadium and. Yeah, saw a few bit of the action as well. It's been a fantastic weekend, obviously, as we move into the final 10 weekends of the season now, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really starting to get into the deep end of the season now. Just be a fairly standard featured for show tonight for you all. So we'll have four games to concentrate on and we'll see how we go after that. So our fourth game that we're going to concentrate on this evening is the Friday night fixture that goes kicked off in match week 24. And that was obviously between Freiburg and Bayern Munich. Another failed attempt at getting, that all-important win for Bayern as they fell even further behind in the title race after Leverkusen, of course, got the big win in the derby. One thing to say from this game, Mark, was just, we were treated to four worldy goals straight away off the bat. Obviously, Freiburg got themselves out ahead, that was a crazy spell of play. In fairness, because the goal comes directly after was it Shalai who goes to the overhead kick?
Yeah, Shalai had the shot saved and the overhead. So
So that was a pretty crazy spell of the match, but. Obviously, Bayern worked their way back into it for a fantastic strike by Matthijs Tel. Finally gets his start that obviously a lot of people have been asking for. And obviously, working our way through the other two fantastic goals that we saw. Musiala just dribbling through everyone physically possible. Maybe not the best defending that you'll ever see from Freiburg. To give what everyone thought was going to be a really important victory for Bayern. But Freiburg held on in there directly from a long throw in, a bit of the ball falling in the right place and was finished really, really well. Like a beautiful curled volley, really clean hit by Holler to make it 2-2 and to prevent Bayern from winning once again. First off, a guess for the title race, Mark, this is, another nail in the proverbial coffin.
Yeah, I think it was Leon Goretzka described Bayern Munich's season as just basically a nightmare that just keeps on, doesn't want to end, basically. That's what he said about the Bayern Munich season. And yeah, it was another dark day in many ways because, Freiburg just tore them apart in moments in this game. As you say, scored two really good goals, but they had other chances as well. You know, I think Grifo missed a chance after dribbling through about four Bayern defenders as well. Yeah. I think Gunter missed a really good chance at 1-0 as well. If he could have put that one away too, then, at 2-0 down, they would have been in all kinds of bother. But yeah, this was a beautiful game of football, actually. I don't want to focus too much on Bayern's woes because Freiburg played really well and Bayern also did in attack at times, but just the defence is really poor. And to be honest, Freiburg have some of the same issues as what Bayern do at the minute as well because their defence is also not firing. As you say, the Musiala goal should have been defended better. And to be honest, Tel also had too much time to pick his spot as well in the first goal. I think their issues are mostly at right back. I mean, Sil Dillier is just not performing at all. And like Ritso Doan, a lot of the time he comes so far back to that fullback position to help out Sil Dillier because he just can't defend at all, basically. So, yeah, that's definitely a position that Freiburg need to work on. But, yeah, for Freiburg, I thought Grifo looked back to his best. I mean, the Hurler goal was amazing as well. What a strike that was. That was so a fantastic goal. And, you know, great to see Gunter back in the side and playing well too, because, you know, he's missed too much time this season. And obviously he has started the last two games, so he looks so he could potentially be back to some kind of form. Because obviously they've got a lot to play for as well, the Sport Club. Obviously got West Ham over a two-legged tie to me, you know, in the last 16 of the Europa League. So, you know, I wouldn't put it completely beyond them to win that tie, in truth, because they are playing a little bit better now. I think, you know, against Lawns and then in this game, they look more back to their old selves, particularly going forward. So that's going to be an interesting tie. As for Bayern Munich, I mean, the defence, what can you say, really? I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously he went with Kimmich at right back in this game, and that also didn't work out. He was hooked quite early on in the game. You know, Goretzka Pavlovic in midfield, you know, was okay, but not, it was too easy to play through that pivot as well. What Konrad Leimer has to do to get a start in midfield, I really don't know, to be honest with you, because, I mean, to me, it's just a complete mystery, really. I mean, I've been saying it all season that every time he's played there, I think the best performances we've seen from Bayern Munich this season have included Konrad Leimer in that pivot position, you know, just in front of the defence, particularly the game when they won 4-0 at Dortmund, which was, you know, widely seen as their best performance of the season. You know, a rare bright spark this year under Thomas Tuchel, but he's barely played there since, basically. So clearly Thomas Tuchel doesn't agree that he was so good. Maybe he's failing to see what just about every other German Bundesliga enthusiast thinks. But hey, it is what it is. I think the obsession with Dier as well, I don't understand, because, I mean, I think England fans, let's just say he's not the most popular player in the English team over the last 10, 15 years. Let's say that much. And, you know, he's playing a lot of games and I've just not been impressed with him, in truth, since he made the move over to Germany. He's not had the same level of success as what, obviously, Harry Kane has. And, yeah, it looks as though their season's dead in the water, 10 points behind as a result of Leverkusen's 2-0 win in Köln. And they literally need divine intervention, basically, now at Bayern Munich. And to be honest, their whole season probably hinges on this second leg tomorrow night against Lazio in the Allianz Arena. If they lose that, then, yeah, I'm not even sure there's much point playing the last 10 games for Bayern Munich.
Well, yeah, obviously, ultimately, a lot is riding on that game. Be watching that with great interest. Yeah, obviously, for Bayern, they've got that game, and then they've got Mainz and Darmstadt over the next two games. Naturally, they'll be really targeting that to get themselves going again, try and gather a bit of momentum ahead of the Clásico in a few weeks' time as well. So probably people are now just starting to figure out, you know, what match week it'll be mathematically done, basically. People are almost on countdown mode, really, with Leverkusen, you know, obviously as they backed things up on Sunday. Really good game. Of football just to enjoy, really. Some great goals, some great moments from players. Obviously, Freiburg, like you say, I think that they are getting there. They'll still be concerned about the amount of goals they're conceding, and they'll want to do themselves justice against West Ham, obviously, over two legs. I wonder how much that will obviously distract them from their league position. Like, obviously, Freiburg would want to be in Europe next season, you would imagine. So the best way of doing it is to try and stay consistent in the Bundesliga, because there's not many other teams that are consistent at the moment in that kind of race right now for those European spots. Overall, really interesting game. And, we'll move on. But just before we do, I just want to pick up on a question from Moritz, one of our great viewers and writers with Bully News. And Moritz has been just picking up on the Köln performance, Mark, because that's not a game that we're going to do tonight. But whilst we're talking about title race stuff, we might as well just quickly cover it and saying that the red card on Sunday obviously puts obviously a huge early impact onto the game. In what might, you know, what Morris has picked up on wasn't a horrible performance at all from Köln, and they had some real, you know, bright moments where, you know, particularly from crosses where they've done better. They would have, you know, they should have scored goals from him. So the encouragement maybe for Köln to take away from it, and Leverkusen just doing a professional job, really.
Yeah, I think I did watch some of this game when I was heading back from in the Hauptbahnhof in Bremen. And to be honest, it wasn't that convincing from Leverkusen. But I think this kind of performance often creeps in for sides that are trying to win a title, especially when they're trying to win a title against the odds. Because, I mean, it's not easy to get over the line. You know what I mean? It really isn't. And this was a performance from Leverkusen that told me that there are a little bit of nerves in there because, you know, as you say, playing pretty much the whole game against 10 men against a side that, you know, let's say they don't have the best attack. They did struggle at times. And that Adamian chance, I mean, he has to be scoring that ultimately. I mean, if that goes 1-1, and at that point, at the beginning of the second half, Köln were really on top in that game. Yeah. And the crowd was brilliant. You know, the crowd was partisan. They made it difficult for Leverkusen. And to be honest, in the end, I think it was a good win for the Bayern Wolfier because, I mean, it wasn't the best performance. But I think we will start to see this kind of performance a little bit more from them now, which is understandable because they're about to win the first ever Bundesliga title. Let's not forget that, guys. They've never won the league before. And I think we can't expect them to carry on rolling teams over 3-4-0 every game like they got nerves of steel because, you know, it's a young team. They do have a few experienced players in there, like Granit Xhaka, Hradecky, but, you know, none of them have really won anything before. Even Xhaka didn't win a Premier League title, although he got close last year. And, you know, we can't expect them to just basically batter every team. For Köln, there's enough in there that makes you think they could maybe get saved, but I think the gap's too much at the moment. And they just don't score goals. That's the problem. I think they compete hard and they've been in games for pretty much the entire Rupp Runder. I think there has been a big improvement since Schultz came in, but they just don't score goals. That's the issue. That's the problem in football. If you don't score goals, then yeah, it's tough. But Adamian has to be scoring that goal. And all of a sudden, if it goes 1-1, then they have a problem because, you know, there was a bit of pressure on this game for Leverkusen to go and make it a 10-point gap against a struggling team. And if that had been 1-1, then I think it's possible they could have got a point out of the game, definitely.
Yeah, and obviously you never know with derbies, do you, as well? Yeah, it was interesting. They were interviewing Xhaka after the match and he was talking about, yeah, 10 points is great. It's, you know, it's a great lead, but I didn't say he was scarred by what happened to Arsenal last season, but he's saying, you know, I have knowledge of this and, you know, kind of making the lads aware that this, you know, this can slip very quickly. So we need to stay on it. So, yeah, I think, you know, with those experienced players in the team, you would hope that Leverkusen now have enough savvy about them to press on. Right then, next game that we're going to cover is Bochum 1, RB Leipzig 4, as Leipzig got a really, well, needed and big away win, as not many people go away to Bochum and come back with 3 points, but nor do they often score that many goals either. Yeah, I mean, interesting game this, Mark. Obviously, Bochum did take the lead through, for a free kick, a bit of shoddy goalkeeping by Peter Gulacsi in net, let it go through his palm. So that was pretty poor on their side to get Leipzig off under a bit of pressure. They thought they'd got themselves level fairly early on as Xavi Simons went through and there's a few deflections and he was able to finish. That was pulled back for offside. But we finally maybe saw the best performance yet from Dani Olmo since he's returned with a lovely goal to get Leipzig level. And I think Leipzig were the better team, generally speaking, thereafter. And obviously got kind of pressed on from there. Nice to see the unselfish play from both Paulsen and Xavi Simons for two of the latter goals. Something that you don't always see where people are looking for the square ball, just for a nice tap in as well. But I guess it was a game of two standing goalkeepers, maybe in effect, that both didn't cover themselves in too much glory for a few of the goals. I think, is it the second goal for Leipzig where Luther kind of lets it go over him in a sense? He pounding the floor in frustration. Because he made a really good save early on, I think, from Simmons, who was played through on goal. And you're thinking of fair play, because obviously they would miss Ryman anyway. What were your thoughts about, Leipzig first and foremost, getting that big away win? I can't remember what we predicted for this one, to be honest. I know Runa was saying they expected Leipzig to do well based on the Balkan players' availability. Did we see a 4-1 away win coming?
Not really, but it was a bit of a strange match in many ways, because I think obviously Leipzig did rest some players with the Champions League second leg coming this week as well, like Upendar, who got eventually the winning goal. He actually started on the bench, which is obviously not typical at all. Actually, Baumgartner replaced him up front. I think also Seyvald started as well, which is not typical as well. So there were a few, not heavy changes, but there were definitely changes to this RB Leipzig side. I think the first point I want to make is about the goalkeeping situation at Leipzig, because basically Blažević hasn't had a good season at all, in my opinion, in net. And I think Gulati, since he's come back, has also struggled as well. So that's definitely been an issue that we've never really seen before for Leipzig, because they've always been relatively solid with goalkeepers. But this particular season, Blažević has made a lot of errors as well. And then since Gulati's come back, he's also made errors. So it seems a little bit unclear who's the number one at the minute at RB Leipzig. But yeah, as they often do, you know, I mean, with guys like Xabi Simmons and Dani Olmo on the pitch, I mean, you're going to score goals, aren't you? I mean, I just think Xabi Simmons is an absolutely wonderful footballer. It's a fantastic player to watch. And it is going to be interesting to see what happens with him next season, whether he stays at PSG or whether RB try and sign him. I would imagine surely PSG are going to give him a go, because he is a wonderful player, one of the best players in the Bundesliga, without question. I mean, many would say, you know, on individual brilliance, he potentially is the best player in this league. I would go that far, because he's a magician, really. And, you know, he's not disappointed at all this season. And he was unlucky with the offside goal. It was one of them that was like a millimetre offside or something. So, but he was fantastic. Great to see Dani Olmo, because, you know, he's another one. He, maybe last season, the season before, he could make a legitimate claim for being the best player in the Bundesliga as well. And, you know, he's been unlucky with injuries this season. And, you know, we've not really seen him at his best since he came back from injury, but this was a world-class goal. And, you know, I really hope we can see him get back into some form, because he is a marvellous player, really fantastic player. And yeah, good to see Šeško getting more starts as well now. I've been shouting for a while that he should be starting more. And while he does miss chances, I still believe he offers more than Paulsen overall. Be interested to see what Justin thinks about that as well, because it's been obviously a big debate who should be starting, either Šeško or Paulsen. But obviously Paulsen did come off the bench and score a goal as well himself, so that was nice to see, because he is a great club man. To be honest, he is truly a kind of RB Leipzig legend, really, Paulsen, because he's been there since we were in the Dritte Liga, I think. He's been there a long, long time. And, you know, he just doesn't want to leave the club, even though he doesn't get as much game time anymore. But fantastic man, fantastic leader for that club. And, yeah, I mean, what can you say? Upendar, I mean, he's now got 17 goals this season in his first year, you know. And we have mentioned on this show before that he does miss chances, but nobody can argue with that. I mean, he's an out-and-out striker. I mean, you know, he's fantastic running in on goal. And he has become more clinical as the season's gone on as well. I think early on he was missing maybe too many chances. But I would say that, especially in the Ruck Runder, he's been putting most of them away. And, you know, he's got a big career ahead of him at RB Leipzig. And I think he's had a very, very good breakout year. All in all, looking pretty okay for Leipzig again. You know, they were a little bit unlucky to lose at Bayern last week. And I still believe that they've got a chance to qualify for the top four, but They're probably looking a bit better than Dortmund in truth at the minute. But the problem is Stuttgart just keep going and going and going, don't they? So, I mean, until Stuttgart fade away, then one of Dortmund and Leipzig are going to miss out on the Champions League next year.
Yeah, well, pretty crazy to think. Leipzig have got a good couple of games coming up in the league. They're now next up at home to Darmstadt. Then they go away to Köln. Of course, you know, Köln have been playing better, but still struggling ultimately to find the back of the net. Then they're at home to Mainz. It gets slightly trickier for Leipzig. But obviously, it's just about backing things up, isn't it, ultimately? For Leipzig and just finding that, you know, that consistency, whatever happens to them in, you know, in Europe, you know, with regards to Real Madrid, bit of a free shot in a sense. You know, they had their big opportunity when they're at home to Madrid. No one expects them to go away to Madrid and overturn that deficit. We'll see what happens with that. And obviously, if they do go out, then they've got the freedom to concentrate on the Bundesliga and make sure that they're back in the Champions League. And Justin just saying that Leipzig are going for the Genk goalkeeper next year, Martin van der Voort. So that obviously picks up on your point, Mark, about the kind of uncertainty at the moment, for sure. But yeah, Openda having a really good season. Šeško, you know, has been impactful as well. Absolutely, things looking okay for Leipzig at the moment. Borkum just slipped off a little bit recently, Mark. You know, obviously conceding 5 to Gladbach, 4 to Leipzig now. Slightly down to maybe personnel not being available, but they'll just want to be careful that they don't get dragged too much into the mire of relegation thoughts. Obviously, they are they're officially in 15th place. But they've got obviously that buffer ahead of them at the moment of 8 points from Köln. So it's still pretty comfy, but you know they'll be sweating on that nonetheless. Especially because there's really not a great deal in it with regards to goal difference, other than Darmstadt, who are obviously a little bit further behind on goal difference. That's all good, and we'll move on to our second last game of the show tonight, which was the Top Spiel, the game on Saturday evening, which I couldn't watch live as I was out and about in Sheffield, but keeping a really close eye on the match, Mark. And 3-2 to Stuttgart, as you say, they keep on going against the Wolfsburg side, who obviously still remain inconsistent, and obviously this scoreline 3-2 is a close game, but I felt that this is the best performance that Stuttgart had maybe thrown in for about 4 or 5 games. What about you?
Yeah, it was a very good performance because you've got to remember that Leipzig and Dortmund had just won away from home earlier in the day, so there was an element of pressure. And as you say, Wolfsburg might not have won in 2024 yet, but they are a real Jekyll and Hyde team. Like, you just don't know what's going to come from them at all. And you know, while they haven't been winning many games, they did draw against Dortmund in the last home game. So, you know, they are still a hard team to beat at the Volkswagen Arena. But I thought Stuttgart were really good. Yeah, I mean, it was good to see Guirassy back to his best as well, because I think, obviously, he went to the AFCON and then he kind of got, I think he got ill. It wasn't an injury, but he got a bit of an illness coming back from that. So he hadn't been as good, I didn't think, against Köln last week. But in this game, he was superb. I mean, that was a brilliant opening goal. The header was wild. Top draw. It really was, and, you know, showing his quality again. I actually thought Wolfsburg played well in parts as well, to be honest. I thought it was quite a good game to watch, this one. I think, you know, the equaliser from Mähler was good. You know, Mähler's probably not really hit the heights that people expected, in truth, of him, after the kind of big name move, really, from Atalanta in the summer. But this was his second goal of the season. And, you know, they'll be hoping he can kick on for the rest of the campaign. But yeah, I just think, you know, Wagnerman was a machine in this game, by the way. He was very, very unlucky to get that first one disallowed. But then to have the bottle to go and score another just a few minutes later, and it was a great finish. Wow, that was a beautiful goal, the third one from Wagnerman. It was a marvellous strike into the bottom corner, and it was no chance for goalkeeper Castile. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. It was a really good Anton, who's just getting better and better, to be honest, Anton. I feel as though he's been linked, is it with Bayern as well? I think even Bayern have been sniffing around him a little bit. So that proves how far he's come because, you know, a year ago, he would have been just seen as like a kind of Bundesliga journeyman, really, in a way. You know, not really a player that's going to be bothering the top teams. But it just sums up how many players in this Stuttgart team have just improved out of the box, basically. And, you know, another one of them is Maximilian Mittelstädt. He's just been ridiculous as well, basically. Great to see Ito back in the side as well because, you know, he got that injury. And, you know, he's playing as part of a back three nowadays as well in replace of, obviously, Zagadou, who got injured for the season. But it, you know, can you even say any more superlatives about this team, really? I mean, Furyk wasn't as good in this game, but he's just been superb. Mio is always a threat. And even Leverling coming off the bench was brilliant as well. He kind of was the one that pushed Stuttgart to kind of create even more chances, I felt, in the last 20, 25 minutes. So respect to him. Great to see Silas come off the bench as well. And even Undav after missing a few games injured. So you're pretty much at a full complement now. I think there's only really Zagadou who's out for the season. And you're really starting to think, Rory, you know, Champions League, here we come. Because I just don't see any real, I don't see a major blip. The same as with Leverkusen. I just don't see any major blip from this side. I think if there was going to be a blip, it was that time when they lost the first two games of the Rückrunde. You know, when they lost to Gladbach and Bochum back to back. And you were thinking, oh, you know, Gourassi's at the AFCON. Can you back it up? But then you beat Leipzig 5-2. And since then, it's just been cruise control, really. A minor blip last week against Köln, but bounced back with a great performance here. And, you know, you're 10 games away from a sensational Champions League run, effectively.
Yeah. As you say, covered it really well. There's you know, so many positives that you can take out of the weekend. You know, the return of Undav, the return of, you know, of Nubel in goal is really important for us as well. In, you know, in the sticks in terms of how we play out. Bredlow is a capable stand-in, but he's not on Nubel's levels. All the players that you picked out there had really good games, importantly. And as you say, looking back on the highlights, which are caught up on now, having not watched it live, it looked like a really good game. As you say, Wolfsburg did have their moments and they scored a really good goal from Mähle. Obviously, their second goal has an element of luck to it in terms of the kind of the ball bouncing favourably. But Stuttgart have it all there for them. You know, I'm not saying anything yet because 10 games, there's still plenty of time. You know, and Dortmund and Leipzig are two teams that are completely capable of going on a, you know, unbeaten for the next 10 matches as well. Obviously, I think there's a game between Dortmund and Leipzig still to come, if I'm not mistaken. So that could have huge connotations for, you know, for the top four battle. And, you know, we'll be watching that with great interest. But, I mean, the daft thing is that Stuttgart are closer to Bayern than they are Dortmund. In second place, you know, 4 points behind Bayern, 6 points ahead of Dortmund, and then Leipzig just a point behind. But I think it's the VfB are very much looking behind them rather than, you know, or can we catch Bayern? Can you imagine that if they finish second? So, yeah, no, as you say, all as well there. Obviously, it's another loss for Wolfsburg. Slightly better. They've been, you know, like you say, Jekyll and Hyde. 6 wins, though, Mark, out of 24 this season. 30 goals scored. You know, same points as Bochum. You know, so effectively they're in the relegation race, you know, as it were, you know, with pending this, obviously, this big-ish gap between, you know, Köln and the rest. I don't know what Kovac has on the board at Wolfsburg, but, I mean, like, I'm amazed he's still there. Like, we see teams pulling the trigger on, you know, on a lot less, and Wolfsburg, you know, as a team quality perspective, you expect so much more from them. I'm not just talking about this game because, yeah, obviously the loss is just another loss, but it just compounds everything at the moment. And I just don't know how he survives the rest of the season, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a minor miracle, to be honest. It's like a Bundesliga miracle, it truly is. There's been a couple this year with Leverkusen and Stuttgart, but this is definitely the third Bundesliga miracle this season. Because, I mean, I see Moritz has said, is the mediocrity of the bottom three? And I don't think it is that's saving them, because Wolfsburg should be nowhere near the bottom three anyway, basically. I mean, they've got a massive, massive budget. Seriously, if anyone who's interested in like Bundesliga budgets, you can find this information on like Transfermarkt and stuff. Like, Wolfsburg are well up there in like fourth, fifth of the budget in the Bundesliga. Yeah, they've got an absolute monster budget, really. Some of the players at that club are earning like three times the average player of like Freiburg, Union Berlin, Augsburg, and they're all teams that are above them at the minute. And it's just not okay, basically, what they've served up this season. And yeah, I mean, Kovac himself is probably on an absolute fortune as well, I would imagine. Yeah. And maybe that's the reason why they don't want to fire him, because they don't want to pay compensation to yet another manager. I think more than anything, that's the likely reason. But it's not good enough. I wouldn't say performance-wise it's absolutely terrible. I mean, you can't, you know, they have been a bit unlucky in some games. Like, they conceded last minute against Frankfurt last week, and they weren't terrible in this game. But at the end of the day, with that budget and like the buying power that they've got, it's not good enough, really. And, you know, a lot of the players they're signing are like really highly rated all over Europe. The likes of Meyer, for example, I think they paid 25 million euros for him. That's probably more than what Freiburg spend in three seasons on transfers. You know what I mean? Just on one player. So, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. And it's not good enough. And I don't know why he's not been sacked, in truth. But it probably won't happen now this season, I don't think. Because what's the point, really, now? The season's already gone, effectively. And it's been the third disappointing season in a row where they've not qualified for Europe. And it's a club that just seems to be kind of stagnating in many ways. And, you know, they need someone to bring fire back into that crowd, because the atmosphere often looks flat at the Volkswagen Arena these days. And it's been like that for probably 2 years, really, now. And, yeah, it's a club that's not in a real great moment at the minute. And, yeah, they need someone better, basically.
Yeah, I think Peter was saying a few shows ago that he's really not sure, as in concerned for them, but as in like for their season. Just looking at their fixtures, Leverkusen next, Augsburg, Bremen away. Don't see them winning any of those. Leipzig as well, not too far off. Bayern still to play away. I mean, they've got Darmstadt at home and Mainz at home for the last three games. Might even be relegation, 6-pointers by that point, honestly. they haven't won a game in 1, 2, 3, 4. They haven't won since beating Darmstadt 1-0 on the 16th of December. They've drawn a lot of games, which might have got him, you know, Kovac a bit more credit in the bank. But yeah, it's quite staggering, really, for Wolfsburg. So, we'll see if they can turn things around in these last 10 games. And so we will duly move on to our last game of the weekend. And it's a celebration for the Bavarian brothers of yours, Mark, as Augsburg went crazy on poor old Darmstadt, 6-0 scoreline. 5-0 by the 30-somethingth minute. I forget exactly what it was.
The 29th it was.
Wow, yeah. And so, yeah, the sixth goal comes quite late in the day. Two goals for old boy Philip Tietz. Another couple for Demirovic. Where do we start with Darmstadt in this one? We've loved having them in the league and their story of how they got promoted. We were so thrilled to have some some new, you know, new teams for us to cover in the Bundesliga. But after an initial okay spell, things have gone quite sour for them, haven't they? And this defeat really just kind of hammers home the, well, the difference in quality, I guess, in terms of the Bundesliga and Darmstadt players just really just not being able to step up to that level. In the game itself, I mean, I think four of the five are all just complete and utter terrible mistakes, aren't they? I mean, the first one is just a pass straight across the box by the centre-half. His name escapes me now. Losing the ball in midfield really poorly. Tietz literally was given a gift for that first goal to make it 1-0 after like a minute, and that pretty much set up the entire match. If things weren't tricky enough, Mark, we'll come to the end of the match where I think the clip's gone pretty viral. Actually, it's made its way onto BBC Sport here in England and all sorts about the ultra fan letting his opinion known. Before we come to that, though, obviously, just from a playing perspective for the home side, it just couldn't have gone any worse.
No, I mean, the back three had truly a nightmare. Yeah, it really was an absolute nightmare. Yeah, I mean, Müller was already hooked after 27 minutes, I think. And it's very rare that managers hook the centre-half, do you know what I mean, at this stage of the match. And, you know, I actually felt sorry for them because, you know, a lot of people now are kind of talking about Darmstadt as being like one of the worst Bundesliga teams. I actually don't think they have been that bad through the season. I just think this was a bad day, truly a bad day, And they made some of the errors they made were just uncharacteristically poor for this team. And I think they were very bad for probably the first 4 to 5 games of the season. And everyone thought they were going to get tonked every week, basically, at that point. But they actually bounced back well. And ironically, they actually won away in Augsburg as well. That was low point of Augsburg's season and the high point of Darmstadt's season, really. And obviously, both of those teams have gone in opposite directions, really, since then. But yeah, I mean, it's just a lack of quality, my friend. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why I kind of found it a little bit harsh that they were getting so much stick, because the squad just isn't Bundesliga quality. It's as simple as that. Like, I watched them. I actually watched Darmstadt last season at Nuremberg, and they needed a win to get, it was 5 to 6 games before the end of the season, and it was a big result for them to win. But they won courtesy of a Nuremberg own goal, and the rest of the game was just unwatchable. Basically, you know, they won. It was ultra defensive. They kind of got promoted on the back of very defensive football. And then basically goals from Philip Tietz, who ironically got a double in this game. He bookended the scoring in this match, didn't he? Yeah. So they weren't like a great football team anyway. They were just a hard-working roster, you know what I mean? But they just couldn't get any big names in at all, you know? I mean, really, I think FIFA was ironically the big signing this season. I think that, let's be honest, Rory, you know it. That tells us everything we need to know. And then in January, they brought in Just Van and the bulk of Messi. But the bulk of Messi somehow can't even get on the team at the minute. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, but that's how it is. I mean, to be honest, the team lineup's been bizarre in recent weeks, if I'm being honest with you. Because, I mean, Tobias Kempe, who was one of the players who really impressed me in the early part of the season, I thought he looked like a Bundesliga standard player, but he doesn't play anymore. You know, as I mentioned before, I mean, why Gerrit Holtmann doesn't start, I don't know, in truth. I've even liked the look of that Oscar Wilhelmsson at times, but he doesn't play. You know, they brought in Polter, but he's just done absolutely nothing at all. The squad's just not good enough, pure and simple. Pure and simple. It's just not good enough. And they've come against an Augsburg side who've got... I've never known an Augsburg team have as much attacking quality as what this squad does. So big respect to their manager, you know, who's brought in some very good players to that club. And also... obviously, yes, Torup, who's got them playing attacking football that we didn't know was possible for Augsburg for a long time since we've been covering this show. And, you know, I've seen them live this season, and they're a very good team to watch nowadays. And just one man I want to single out, though, and he's been one of my players of the entire season, it's that man, Demirovic. I mean, what a season he is having, really. 14 goals and 8 assists for Augsburg at this stage of the season. That's 22 goal contributions. If he was playing for like Leverkusen, everyone would be raving about him, basically. Yeah. This moment. And there's not one Leverkusen player who's got that number of goal contributions so far this season. And it's just absolutely mind-blowing, basically, for a team like Augsburg. And, you know, respect to them, really respect to them. They've turned themselves around into a good team to watch. They've got so many players playing well at the minute. You know, Vargas has found his form from a couple of years ago. He's been brilliant in recent weeks. Tietz, as a backup striker, is now getting 7 goals, which is perfectly fine.
Yep.
If he can hit double figures, then he's had a really good season as well. And, you know, Jensen, okay, he gave a stupid penalty away last week, but he had a really good game today. And another man I want to single out is Mbabu as well, because he's really been very, very good in that side as well. I saw him live against Bayern, and you could really see the quality that he brings to that team. And, you know, just to make a good day even better, it was their first clean sheet of the season as well. So that is what they need to work on a little bit more, Augsburg. They do need to keep more clean sheets, which is, ironically, in the past, that was what they were good at, keeping clean sheets. But this season, they've just become like attacking machines, haven't they? And it's great to watch. They've become a team now that you enjoy watching, and big respect to everyone involved at Augsburg at the minute.
Yeah, so I think so. They've scored 39 goals already this season, and that's versus scoring 42 across 34 games last season. So they're 3 off their total from last year, obviously with 10 games to spare. So as you say, you know, really picking up on that goal scoring threat. They're really impressing, aren't they? the daft thing is now that we can almost say that, oh yeah, Augsburg have got a chance for European football, whereas only Was it last week or even 2 weeks ago that they were in 15th place and we were saying, oh, well, they're in relegation race. Yeah. That, like, the middle of the table is so condensed, it's untrue. So, yeah, they're on 29 points. They're 4 points off Hoffenheim in 7th. Obviously, Frankfurt have still got that gap to them, but that kind of conference league spot, obviously, if it is for 7th place, then, yeah. It is genuinely anybody's. Whoever wants it can have it, based on the form so far. And yeah, for Darmstadt, like you say, we don't want to go in on them too harshly. One thing that I do want to say for the sake of Darmstadt, particularly going forward, they've had a nightmare with injuries. So they've had Honsack out for a lot of the season, who was one of their better players early on. Obviously, the Scotsman, Fraser Hornby, you know, a big physical lad. He looked okay in the games that I've seen him. Malem as well. Another one looked quite good going forwards. Nuremberg has been quite unavailable as well based on injury. And he was one of their kind of marquee signings in the summer and just gone by. That's 4 players straight away. And obviously, you say, you know, Holtman's been brought in, whether he can do it still at Bundesliga level, but maybe he should be able to, you know, get those starts. We've seen Seidel, who's come in here and there, Wilhelmsson, as you mentioned. So they've got a lot of players up there that could maybe do a job, but yeah, it's just not happened for them this season, ultimately, and they are looking in great strife, currently in 18th place with the 2 wins from 24 on 13 points. They're 12 points from safety mark with 10 to go. All they'll be doing is just focusing in on 16th place effectively and seeing what they can do. But anyway, let's just talk about this clip that's gone viral. And obviously, after the game, obviously, there was a lot of unrest in, you know, for the Darmstadt ultras. They're obviously disappointed, more than disappointed, to see what their team had just put out in front of them. And so one of their ultras, a spokesman, whoever it might be, came onto the pitch to remonstrate or maybe just instruct the Darmstadt players and coaches alike, basically, what on earth was that? And, you know, sort yourselves out or else, you know, the season could get a lot worse before it's over. Do you want to just pick up on that and maybe for, you know, for casual viewers and for our English audience, maybe the, you know, the relationship with the ultras and football clubs, how, you know, how much of the say they actually genuinely have?
Yeah, it is something that's very, very special in German football. And obviously it's done the rounds in England and a lot of England fans are just kind of, I've heard a lot of positive comments about it, but this is actually quite a normal thing in a way in German football, actually. Maybe not quite to that level, obviously, because the guy was really, really annoyed, let's be honest. But it's very, very common that after a poor performance, the players always go over to the ultras, whether home or away. That's like a complete, basically a par for the course in German football. It always happens. And as you can see on our vlogs as well, we always show that as well. And, you know, they either celebrate with the fans after a win or they take the kind of abuse. Not really abuse isn't the right word, but the fans let them know if it wasn't good enough, definitely. And it's not always the case after a defeat that the fans turn on them like that. If they feel as though they tried hard enough and they were unlucky, then they'll give them respect as well. But in this particular case, clearly the Darmstadt fans just weren't happy at all. And I understand that because it was a dreadful performance from first minute, literally first minute until last. But yeah, this isn't unheard of in German football. It's actually quite common that this kind of thing happens. And like every ultra group has a kind of leader, a spokesman, basically. And yeah, they literally have real, they actually talk to the players on a regular basis and they tell them. Often you see it as well. You saw it during the protests as well. Often the player, the captain would go over to the ultra leader and just say, can you stop, please, basically. Because, you know, there were threats of games being called off or postponed due to that. And often they, you know, I think even the players literally know these guys, basically. Like, they have real kind of good contact with them. And, you know, ultra culture is so much part of German football. They're not just a bunch of nutcases that go and jump up and down every week. These are guys that are so involved in the club and, like, they have official registered bands and they know the players in many cases. I think when we had the Darmstadt guy on, like, he was there, wasn't he? Actually, he was there, like, celebrating with the players. So this is something that German football is fantastic with. Like, these clubs are not just like millionaire players kicking a ball around the field. Like, they're members of a community, and you know, the clubs and the ultras are part of that community. And, you know, the clubs know that they have to keep them on side and they want to keep them on side as well. Like, they know that, you know, they're fighting for the city, for the club. And that's what it's all about, basically. But obviously, that's the other side to it as well. If they're not happy, they will let the players know. And from what I can gather, they were told they're not fit to wear the shirts and things like that. And not just like a little chant, but basically saying it just simply wasn't good enough and you didn't do the badge or the shirt justice and you better sort your act out, basically. That's what they were saying. And you saw some of the players' faces as well and you could see that they were feeling it there, basically. And it was a very powerful moment, I think. And it was very, you know, something that I'm glad that now people see this in German football as well, because maybe the TV cameras don't pick it up as much as they should do, really, this.
Yeah, very true. Rather unfortunately for Darmstadt as well, it doesn't get much easier as they travel away to RB Leipzig and then host Bayern Munich. Probably not what you maybe after when you want to react to a 6-0 humbling, but I'm sure we will see a reaction by the Darmstadt lads, and I hope to see one by them in the coming weeks as well. That pretty much covers the four games. Obviously, you know, plenty of good action and obviously results across the leagues, other games. So obviously, Dortmund getting a much needed 2-0 win against Union. Mainz getting a point against Gladbach. Frankfurt obviously beating Heidenheim, which contained a rather unfortunate moment of an own goal as well, Mark. It's not often we see those, and we'll probably see them on the blooper reels going around. That also made it onto BBC Sport, the unfortunate moment of the pass back from Heidenheim, where it catches the wrong part of the turf and flies over Muller's feet and yeah, goes straight in to make it 1-0, unfortunately. But, well, ultimately cost them in the end. But Heidenheim obviously still going very strongly in the league. Another two goals mark for Bayer as well, as Hoffenheim overcame Werder. Obviously good for Hoffenheim being able to back up. Bayer goes from strength to strength ultimately. So that'll do us for this evening. So yeah, thank you to everyone that's tuned in tonight, and apologies that the show is a little bit later and that I've been a little bit off colour. But we'll be back with a vengeance on Thursday for predictions, of course. And we're toying around with we're going to do our next watch along, which could be this Friday. So keep your eyes peeled and we'll confirm that either way around. Mark, I'll just quickly hand over to you to close things up.
Yeah, just one other little point on the Kevin Muller as well. That was the other side of the ultras. Like when Kevin Muller made that error, the Heidenheim goalkeeper, and you know he was obviously very upset. You could hear the ultras behind the goal chanting his name as well. So that shows the other side, and like they're obviously happy with his performance over the season. That with that, they're basically saying, you know, you can make one error in the season and. Yeah, so obviously that's the other side. So you see that it's not all bad when someone makes a mistake, but it was, that was nice to see. And I think his teammates rallied around him too. But I guess that's the difference when you're 18th place like Darmstadt and when you're 10th place like Heidenheim, you know, who are pretty much safe mid-table. So, but that's just the other side of it. But yeah, thanks again for kind of checking in with us today, guys. So if you enjoyed what you saw on the channel, then check out our X at Over the Bar FB and at Over the Bar Extra. Don't forget, we're not only a YouTube channel as well. We're also a podcast, so check us out there. Link will be in the description. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. So as Rory said, we've got a lot of content coming out for you as well. Also, don't forget to check out our vlogs as well. Myself and Peter, and also Ian's from England as well. So yeah, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you again later in the week. Bye-bye.